In June, the state's top court weighed in on the crucial question of our day. Do elephants have the same rights as people? To find out the answer from New York's Court of Appeals, we're checking in with Dumbo superfan Rob Rosbrough, author of the New York Appeals blog, which you can find at nysappeals.com, and a litigation partner with Whiteman, Osterman, and Hanna. Welcome back to the Capitol Press Room, Rob.
Thanks again for having me, David.
So what was the underlying issue that prompted this legal debate over the rights of elephants?
Well, for a number of years in New York, there have been animal rights organizations like the Non-Human Rights Project that has brought litigation to determine whether the right of habeas corpus should be available for animals who are confined to be released to, you know, a better type of captivity. And the New York courts throughout history over the last, you know, 10 years or so have said that, you know, animals don't have the same rights as people, so they can't get the right of habeas corpus to be released from illegal detention. That came to a head when finally the Court of Appeals decided to grant leave to appeal in one of those cases and decide the issue altogether for the entire state.
And why was Happy the elephant, an elephant that's lived in the Bronx Zoo for decades, sort of the ideal plaintiff for this type of case?
Well, in this type of case, what the argument was is that because elephants are acknowledged to be very intelligent and autonomous, and they have lots of capabilities of you know, living together with other animals and being basically functioning like humans do, except for they are animals.
That they don't use the internet.
No, they don't use the internet. It's true. They don't scroll Twitter like we do, but they do everything else that humans normally do in a familial type setting. So our animal rights argument was that they're as close as you're going to get to a human being. So that's a good test case to see whether the Court of Appeals would accept that they should have the same rights to be released from an illegal detention situation as humans do.
And what did the 5-judge majority think about this argument?
They were not buying it. So what the majority said was that the writ of habeas corpus has always been designed and used for the release of people. And usually it's used for the release of people in a legal detention situation to freedom. And what the animal rights organization proposed here was seeking, you know, the release of Happy, who's admittedly both the majority and the dissent say not a person, to a different form of captivity, this, you know, elephant sanctuary that has hundreds of acres that the elephants can roam. So the majority basically said, over the, you know, the course of the way that the writ of habeas corpus has been used, it doesn't apply to non-human beings that don't have the same rights as humans, same inherent liberty as humans do. And, you know, they base that determination on prior case law, the decisions from a number of other states that have held the same thing, and, you know, the sort of adjudication of when you are given rights, it comes with responsibilities and obligations to others, and the same type of rights and obligations can't adhere to a non-human animal because they're just incapable of having those obligations.
Did the conditions at the Bronx Zoo matter at all in the majority's thinking of this case, or is the finding solely revolving around that idea that an animal just doesn't have the same rights as a human?
They mattered to a small extent. So what the majority said was, for the writ of habeas corpus to be available, you have to show that it was an illegal detention. And what the majority's reasoning on the illegality question was, is there is largely no dispute that the Bronx Zoo is following all of the federal and state regulations for animal housing, and particularly following all of the laws that apply to elephants. So without some sort of showing that there is an illegal detention in place, the writ just isn't available.
And We had two dissenting opinions, one from Judge Rowan Wilson, another one from Jenny Rivera. What were the arguments that they made in siding with this idea that, that Happy was being illegally detained?
So the dissent focused less on the question, you know, of is this historically available for just persons or not, and actually looked at the Judge Wilson's dissent in particular, extensively cataloged the use of the writ of habeas corpus, looked at, you know, how it was originally used to free slaves that were considered at the time to be property and not human under, you know, the United States Constitution, and the same thing in the history of European nations as well. And then how the writ of habeas corpus was used to transfer custody of children and to free women from their husbands when they were considered, you know, not to have the same rights as men did long, long ago. And basically came to the conclusion that because the writ of habeas corpus is so flexible and has been used in a number of different instances to advance societal understanding of rights, that it should be at least be available here for someone to challenge Happy's detention or some other animal's detention based upon factually specific showings in each case. You know, Judge Wilson doesn't say that it will necessarily be available in every case, but it should at least have been available here, where the procedural posture of this case was on a motion to dismiss. So the standards in court require you to accept all of the allegations that the Non-Human Rights Project had made, and just to see whether a hearing was warranted. And he said, and Judge Wilson emphasized that given the historical flexibility of the writ to move society forward, the court should have at least allowed a hearing to, you know, to take place. And Judge Rivera's dissent also focused on how Happy is not happy at the Bronx Zoo. She talks a lot about, you know, the conditions that Happy is particularly in, and how it's a 1-acre pen, and in situations like that, the writ of habeas corpus should be available to transfer Happy to what she determined to be a better situation.
Well, for listeners who are just joining us, so you're listening to the Capitol Press Room, and we're speaking with Rob Rosborough, author of the New York Appeals blog and a litigation partner with Whiteman, Osterman, and Hannah. And we're breaking down a recent decision from the state's top court, which examined the question of whether elephants have the same rights as people, in basically shooting down the idea that an elephant has, you know, the same rights, when at least when it comes to habeas corpus. Does that extend then to limiting the rights of other animals, or is it just elephants who are out of luck moving forward?
So according to the majority, it's all animals. They recognize that animals can have autonomy and intelligence, but left the question to whether they should have specific rights to the legislature. So according to the majority's reasoning, you know, the writ of habeas corpus is limited only to human beings, and for any other protection of rights, like we have, for example, in the agriculture and markets law, or in the laws codifying that when a husband and wife, or, you know, two partners get divorced, they can transfer property for domestic animals, or leave, you know, a trust to take care of animals in estate documents, that those arguments should be directed to the legislature, and let the legislature make the policy decision whether these rights should be granted to animals in particular.
So if someone was to bring a case, say for a chimpanzee or some other animal that's regarded as highly intelligent, basically a lower court in New York should basically look to the state court of appeals ruling in this case and say, no, this area has already been adjudicated. Chimpanzee, your dog, your whatever, does not have access to the same rights as a human?
Yes. Yeah, the Court of Appeals basically forecloses that right. And you know, it's funny, part of the prior case law had to do with chimpanzees. Kiko was one of the cases before where a chimpanzee, an animal rights group, brought the same type of writ of habeas corpus on behalf of a chimpanzee that led to this dispute, ultimately ending up at the Court of Appeals. So yeah, if there are some sort of policies that the animal rights advocates want to be enacted to protect, you know, the particular rights of animals or elephants in particular, or whatever other animals they want protected. The majority of the Court of Appeals says, take that to the legislature, influence your representatives, and get legislation passed.
So what happens in the near future, or maybe distant future, when we have some sort of artificial intelligence, whether it's like a computer system or it's in, say, a robot, and somebody's advocating for their rights to be kept in certain conditions? Do you imagine this happy precedent could be utilized by, you know, the future state court of appeals, or is that opening a whole new ball of wax?
Well, I think it will depend on who's on your Court of Appeals at that time. If you have more judges like Judge Wilson and Judge Rivera, then yeah, they could bring up their dissents on whether, you know, this case could be overruled. But if you have more like the majority, then it will, you know, would necessarily be that this case will control going forward, that the writ of habeas corpus is just available for the release of human beings from illegal detention, and the robots will have to apply to the legislature too.
And when you think about a case like this one with the state court of appeals weighing in on the rights of an elephant, is this something that you kind of laugh at, or do you take it really seriously? Because this is the state's top court and it's weighing in on a question that, I guess, sets precedent for decades, if not longer, to come.
No, I think it's a serious question, especially, you know, if you talk to the people who brought these cases, they're very concerned about the conditions of animals and don't feel like there is enough of protection efforts being undertaken by the legislative branches. So I completely understand why they would try to bring this case in the courts when, you know, the Court of Appeals throughout its history has been a very strong common law court and have issued a number of decisions that Judge Wilson catalogs that really have advanced the rights of people throughout history when, you know, society might not have quite been ready to recognize those rights in legislation. So I think this is, you know, it's an important decision. You know, happy is certainly a cause celeb because of how popular she is at the Bronx Zoo. And, you know, it's an important decision going forward on these legal principles that at least now we know settled law in New York is this new rule that habeas corpus will only apply to human beings. And if there are additional animal rights that people want enacted, they should pressure the legislature heavily to get those adopted.
Well, we've been speaking with Rob Rosbro. He is the author of the New York Appeals blog, which you can find at nysappeals.com. And he's a litigation partner with Whiteman, Osterman, and Hanna. Rob, thank you so much for making the time. I really appreciate it.
Thanks again for having me, David.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by the New York State AFL-CIO, a federation of 3,000 unions fighting for working people by keeping New York State union strong. UnionStrongNY.com for more information.